There are growing fears that the fires in Russia are doing more than char hectares of forest and peat bog. Many are concerned that the smoke and ash from the fires are carrying radioactivity, which had been contained in the plants and trees after the nuclear disaster at Chernobyl in nearby Ukraine. Dr. Gordon Edwards is the president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. And Dr. Edwards joins me here in our Montreal studio. Welcome back to The Link, Dr. Edwards.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, now, the cause for concern here, are the fires releasing radioactivity absorbed by the vegetation?
At the moment, they're not. But the concern is that there is a region which is a marshy, wooded region, which is one of the largest peat deposits in Russia. And it's quite close to the Chernobyl area. And if fires were to take hold there, then the heat from the fire itself could vaporize the radioactive materials in the soil, not only releasing radioactivity from the plants that may have absorbed these materials, but right from the soil itself. There was a study, a Russian study in 2007, which observed that that in this region, which is called the Bryansk region, the radioactivity, the cesium and strontium, which is radioactive material with about a 30-year half-life, is all at the top layer of the soil. So it would be perfect for releasing. It vaporizes at only a few hundred degrees Celsius, whereas the forest fire itself reaches over 1,000 degrees Celsius. So if this stuff vaporizes, that's what happened in the original accident. It vaporized because of overheating. That's why it was released into the atmosphere in the first place. So reheating this material could release it into the air.
Now, it's been almost 25 years since Chernobyl, and you said it's a 30-year shelf life. That's how long radioactivity remains in trees, plants, and soil?
It's the half-life. Half-life is a concept having to do with any radioactive material. It's the time it takes for one half of that material to disintegrate. Now, all of the danger from radiation comes from the disintegration itself, because when these atoms disintegrate, they give off different charged particles, alpha particles, beta particles, and uncharged particles like photons and neutrons, all of which damage living cells.
So that's going on all the time?
That's going on all the time. And in 30 years, about half of the material has disintegrated already. The other half still remains. And if you wait another 30 years, then you will still have a quarter of that material left. And then after another 30 years, an eighth of that material will be left. So we still have more than 50% of that radioactive cesium and strontium that was released back in the Chernobyl accident still present in the soil of that region.
How far will the smoke and ash travel from much of what's going on in Russia?
Well, that depends on the temperature. The higher temperatures tend to loft it very higher into the air. And the hotter it is, the higher it will go. And the result is that it will spread much further. The original fire that took place at Chernobyl, you may remember, was a graphite fire. They had a graphite moderator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, graphite burns with an intense heat. And so the temperature was such that it lofted it very high in the air. That's why it went all over the world, effectively, and certainly into Scandinavia and northern England. Now, it all depends on the temperature and the weather conditions. If the wind is blowing in that direction, and if the fire is hot enough, then it could indeed travel thousands of miles for sure.
What do we know about the impact on human health of this sort of radioactive fallout?
Well, there's a lot of controversy about this. And one of the reasons is because it's so long term. Generally speaking, people do not get immediately ill from contact with this material. They absorb it into their body. It basically enters into their body through breathing, through drinking contaminated water, through eating contaminated food. And it becomes incorporated into the cells of their body. So they're being irradiated internally over a period of many, many years. And it's the cumulative damage from that internal insult that is causing damage. So people will often get cancers or other diseases 10, 20, 30, 40 years later caused by radiation. But if you're not keeping track of exactly how much radiation people got and you're not keeping track of their particular health records, then it's very hard to tell.
Does the distance give us a bit of a protection here in Canada?
Yes, it gives us a good deal of protection. I think that one would hope that the smoke from these forest fires would certainly have thinned out a great deal as it crosses the Atlantic Ocean, and hopefully we would get not even a whiff of it. But you never know. I mean, certainly we're facing here a very unusual situation. There's some 600 fires raging, and peat fires are very difficult, notoriously difficult to put out once they start.
Why?
Well, it's because it basically burns underground, and you can douse the flames, but it just flames back up again once the water evaporates. So the heat underground is so hot that you can't really you can put out the flames, but you can't remove the heat.
So you can
and the heat
deal with
reignites
it on the surface,
the fire,
but not below
That's
the
correct.
Surface.
That's correct.
Do you have any concern about the fires reaching Chernobyl itself?
Well, that's a possibility. Chernobyl, of course, is outside the domain now of Russia. It's in Ukraine. It's right near the border of Belarus and Russia and Ukraine. Yes, there is a possibility. And there is a sarcophagus that was built back at the time of the accident. This is a kind of a concrete and metal shroud that was built to contain the radioactivity in the reactor. And that shroud has started to collapse and disintegrate. And as a result, they've allocated, first of all, $500 million, and now it's three times that much, $1.5 billion, in order to build a new sarcophagus around the reactor. And that's not going to be completed until 2012. So if the fire were to reach the reactor site, let's say, and if they were unable to prevent it, then you could have serious problems there because 95% of the radioactivity is still at the site. Only 3% was actually released into the air, and about another 2% has disintegrated as a result of time.
You talk about nature being the great recycler and that fire is one of the many mechanisms nature uses. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, nature really operates on recycling. That's what happens with nature. There's no such thing as a waste product in nature. Every waste product becomes food or sustenance for some other creature. And so nature has ways of recycling things. Now, when you have a forest fire, the ashes don't disappear. They go into the air and they spread and they can become useful fertilizer for other places. However, if these ashes are contaminated with radioactive materials, then you're also spreading the radioactivity. This is one of the great problems of radioactive waste management, as they call it, because we don't really know, we humans, we don't really know how to dispose of anything permanently. Nature always seems to find a way to break in and recycle it because that's the business that nature's in. And fire is certainly one of the more dramatic ways of spreading this stuff around.
So what are we watching for now in terms of what's going on in Russia?
Well, I think we're watching for emergencies. And this morning, BBC News announced that there is an emergency at the site of another disaster that took place in 1957 that many people haven't even heard about. It's west of the Ural Mountains. It's about 1,200 kilometers from Moscow, but it's on the side where the fires are. And they've now had forest fires which are threatening the town, the secret city of where the Mayak nuclear reprocessing plant is. This is a plutonium production plant that was used for the bomb program. And there was a disaster in 1957 which contaminated about 80,000 square miles of Russian soil there. Now, if the fires – already they're in a state of emergency. They're fighting right now to try and keep those fires from reaching that nuclear facility. But all in the surrounding area, there are forbidden lands where nobody is allowed to go because of the radioactive contamination. So those fires could threaten to liberate that material. Now, that accident happened in 1957, so that would be not yet two half-lives. It means that about 25%, more than 25% of the radioactivity is still there, of the cesium and the strontium. I have to say that there are many different kinds of radioactive materials. The reason we focus on these two, cesium and strontium, is because of their half-lives and also because they're easily incorporated into living things.
Well, we'll have to leave it there for now, but thank you for coming in and joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. And I do hope that this doesn't happen. And I do hope that the fires are bad enough. And the smoke is already doubling the death rate in Moscow, I understand, just from the heat and from the smoke and inhalation and so on. So hopefully, let's not add radiation to the mix.
Thank you very much, Dr. Edwards.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Dr. Gordon Edwards, president of the Canadian Coalition for Nuclear Responsibility. He joined me here in our Montreal studios, and we will have a link to the coalition's website on our site at www.rcinet.ca/English.